The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to always show affection and kindness to children. He used to kiss them and say a prayer for them, asking Allah to place them under His protection.
أعيذكم بكلمات الله التامة من كل شيطان وهامة ومن كل عين لامة.
I commend you to the protection of Allah's perfect words from every devil, venomous creature, and every evil eye.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله ثم أما بعد اعرف ما لك وماذا عليك الحق الرابع حق الأولاد. My dear brothers and sisters, one of the goodness of this Sharia, Islam, that it takes too much care and too much teaching and commands for establishing justice and giving every person his rights without exaggeration and without belittling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to be just and He commanded us to be good. We know that with justice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent all the prophets and all the messengers. And based on justice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based the whole thing in the day of judgment. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. We will establish the just scales the day of judgment. With justice, or what just is to give every person his due rights and to give every person his level that he deserves. And you cannot do that unless you know the rights of those people. If you don't know the rights, how can you give the rights for those people and give them the right status they deserve? And that is what we are trying to do in these series of lectures, where we are trying to show every one of us what are the rights that are due upon you. Because the Day of Judgments, the rights of the people and the rights that are due to others upon you, you will be questioned about it. There is no doubt. So we have spoken about the first and the most important right, which is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be worshipped alone. And we have spoken about the rights of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who has the absolute right to be followed and taken as an example alone. And we have spoken about the rights of the parents, which is to be obeyed. Today, inshallah, we'll talk about the fourth right, which is the right of our children. Our children have rights. We always want them to give us the rights. It's nice sometimes we can switch it. What are the rights of the children upon us, not our rights upon children? A young boy sees his father from a distance coming home as usual, on the cell phone, talking, conducting business, and the boy, little boy, is running, "Daddy, Daddy," and Daddy is not there, he is in a different world. Then the boy runs into the daddy because the daddy is continuing, did not stop, and then the daddy gets upset and smacks the little kid, "Out of my way." Then he will be shocked. "What did I do wrong? I'm happy to see daddy and I'm coming to meet daddy, and daddy slaps me. I did not do." And the first thing that they hear, "Are you blind?" Well, who is blind? The person on the phone is the one who's blind, because a child is a child. You see also, at one time, a person about 5 years old or so came to the masjid. You have some little wicked children who play behind the people when they pray, older children. And you have some of those people who attend the masjid who have their temper right over here, ready to fall. And they have their own set, their mindset, about children and coming to the masjid and making noise and cleanliness and all of that. As soon as they said salamu alaykum, took a stick and chased the kids out. Who was with them? The young child. Scared to death, having no idea what he did and where he went wrong. Every time you mention the name of the masjid, what happens? Doesn't want to go there. I don't like it. These are examples of ill treatment and upbringing to our children, where fathers and elders don't understand how to deal with young ones whom that we are relying on for passing the message after we go. Naturally, for not knowing the religion right, and at the same time for not taking examples or understand the examples of the companions and what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he dealt with them. You find some of the parents spying on their children and choking them to death, supervising everything they do and what they do, take the cell phone and check everything in it, go to their room, check their drawers, take they do, it's like complete search all the time. And you have, on the other hand, some parents who always promise, if you pray today on time, inshallah, I'll give you $1 for each prayer. End of the day comes, give me my $5, inshallah, tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, don't have the wallet, inshallah, when I come back. Inshallah, inshallah, all inshallah promises, no good nowadays with children. They don't like to hear the word inshallah. These are some bad things, bad examples that we all can relate to and children understand, and unfortunately this is not how you raise them. One time, one of the horsemen of the Arabs, who yani can tell the children if this child is going to be someone or not, we can tell, he passed by and he saw Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu. He was playing with other children. He looked at him and he said, إِنِّي لَأَظُنُّ هَذَا الْغُلَامِ سَيَسُودُ قَوْمًا. He said, I think this man is going to be the chief of his people. He's going to be the one in charge. Look at his mother. Muawiyah's mother heard that comment. She said, ثَكِلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ أَوْ ثَكِلْتُهُ إِنْ كَانَ لَا يَسُودُ إِلَّا قَوْمًا. I may lose him if he is only going to be in charge of only his people. Look at the ambition, and look at the plan, and look what she had in mind. She wanted him to be in charge of everybody, not just his people. This is how she planned it, and this is what she was doing to her child. These are examples. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to trust the young, and he used to lay down upon them responsibilities, and they used to fulfill it, and he used to commend them, and he used to make dua for them, and he used to play with them, and he used to do everything possible that can nourish their mind physically and spiritually. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, his mother said, نَذَرْتُكَ لِلْعِلْمِ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَجْمَعُ بِكَ الْأُمَّةِ. I have given you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek knowledge. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unite this ummah by you. And that was when he was 4 years old. His dad died when he was 4 years old. Age of 5, she sent him to Medina to learn there and to study Islam. And he memorized the Quran in the age between 5 and 7. And this is the kind of mother that she had. Imagine our mother, when her child wants to go somewhere else, when he is an adult, she'll be too scared and no, stay here, don't do this and don't do that. Different mothers, different upbringing. The question is, why our parents and elders cannot really bring their children in the right way today? Do they understand the importance of the righteous mother? Do our children understand how to pick their future wife based on those criteria that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Parents sometimes ask themselves when children are reaching the age of becoming adults, why they refuse to take their parents as an example, why they refuse their authority, why they tend to go and ask help from their peers, from their friends, rather than their parents. All those questions arise when you talk about people, or children rather, when they become adults. We need to understand the period where the children become adults. What happens to them? Number one, children, when they become adult, they go into continuous and fast physical, emotional, psychological, and mental changes. And many of the parents, yani the boy, no longer a boy, now he's a man. And many of the parents don't understand that. Now this young man has his own society. It's not like he wants to be with his father all the time. He's trying to build his own character. Many of the parents refuse that because they don't understand it and they are ignorant of it. Sometimes they have conflicts with their children. And of course, what this leads to, it leads for our children to be disappointed with their parents, and they have doubts and to become stubborn, and they start relying on their friends. And all those changes requires all of that, but they can't find it with their parents. Also, when the person becomes an adult, he wants to establish his own entity. And at the same time, he wants to discharge his energy. He wants to establish his entity and discharge his energy. And he wants to be responsible. He doesn't like to be relying on his parents every time he wants a dollar. Dad, give me a dollar, and this and that. So you find him now, he wants to establish himself and start relying on himself. And if the parents are not going to give them that opportunity, then they're going to lose it, because many of us focus on what? School, study. I don't want you to do this, I don't want you to do that, don't do any chores, just concentrate on the school. That is wrong. They have to be given some responsibility, regardless how small that responsibility is. Look at that. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's our best example. When the children reach the age 7, muru awladakum bis-salah, command them to pray. Give them responsibility, which is an obligation. It's not a must upon them, but start training them to be responsible for the prayer. And when they become 10, now start to punish them, lightly punish them, for not fulfilling the responsibility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that applies to fasting, that applies to wearing hijab, that is applying to wearing a beard, that applies for everything that is considered in our religion virtuous or a command. You do that all at young age, so when they grow up, they don't see it as something strange. My dear brothers and sisters, we know that children are the force of the community, and they are the source of power for the community, and they are the main pillar in the community. And the righteousness and the stability of any community depends on the righteousness and the stability of the young men in it, and how righteous they are. So men to the community is like heart to the body. You have body, weak heart, weak body. Strong heart, strong body. The same thing are children to us. So if the children are spoiled and mischievous, then the community is going to be the same way. So we have to know rights. We have to give those children the rights in order for us to fulfill all of those. And naturally, we have obstacles. You need to clear the obstacles and clean the way for our children before we start giving you. So let us talk about some of the things that we have to surpass before we can talk about those rights. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma qal qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ni'matan maghbun feehima kathirun min an-nas as-sihha wal farah. Two bounties that most people at loss when it comes to those two bounties, health and spare time. And naturally, spare time, when children have spare time and it's not utilized in the right way, it is a loss. And when they are healthy, which is when they become adult, they are very healthy, very strong, willing to work, willing to participate. By the way, if we can really utilize children, or rather teens or adults, in the right way, we can fulfill a lot of work around the masjid and for the community at a quick time if we know how to deal with them and how to attract them to the masjid and to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhuma qal inni la amqutu ar-rajul an arahu farighan laysa fi shay'in min 'amal ad-dunya wal al-akhirah. He said, I really hate the person to see him doing nothing from the affairs of dunya or the affairs of the akhirah. And to see a young person doing nothing, this is something bad, this is something that we are really wasting their time and wasting their health. Also, tafakkuk al-usari, when you have broken families, when you have broken families, number one, we know that the family is the nest of those children. That's where the young men grow. It's like a seed. You put the seed and it grows from there, from the house. And they are influenced positively or negatively on the relationship inside the family. Family that has straight, good relationship between husband and wife, definitely they're going to have healthy children. And those who argue all the time, fight all the time, the mother says to the son, don't do this, and the father says, do this. Conflict. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us an example of His oneness. He said, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا رَجُلًا فِيهِ شُرَكَاءَ مُتَشَاكِسُونَ وَرَجُلًا سَلَمًا لِرَجُلٍ هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَا. You have a man, two partners own that man, and you have a man owned by one person. Are they equal? This person owned by two, is he going to be living a healthy life? No. Not like the one, because this one do this and the other one, no, I don't want him to do that. Do this and don't do that. So the family, you have the father. If the father and the mother are not agreeing on how to bring up their children, naturally you have that problem when it comes to Muslim and non-Muslim. Okay, you take him one day to the masjid, I take him one day to the church. Equal rights, right? I let the son decide. Let him decide. I take him there, you take him there. Unfortunately, this is what happens when people are married with non-Muslims, and they can't do anything about it. But imagine when you have a father who wants to take his son to the masjid, and the mother belittling that thing. He doesn't have to go. He's sleepy. He has homework. He has a picnic tomorrow. All of that stuff. So the child is listening to some, and naturally he's going to lean toward the one who's making life easy for him. So if you have the family, either broken family by divorce or broken family by not understanding, you're not going to have healthy children. Also, when we know that parents are the big example for them, naturally, whatever they teach him and they do in front of him, he's going to do. You find a lot of little girls, when they see their mother wearing the hijab, fixing herself with the hijab, she starts to imitate her, wearing the hijab and putting the hijab, even if she don't like, yani, even if she doesn't know what it is, she would wear it and she would like it and she wouldn't want to give it. You pray in front of your child, you find your child running in front of you or next to you and bowing up and down. The way they see you do it, the way they're going to be raised up. Also, one of the other means for children, for youth and children to be deviated is when they find their parents always in differences. Always there is a problem in the house. Always there's some screaming in the house. What do the children do? They leave, they resort to smoking, they resort to drugs, they resort to coffee shops and all of those places that you all know nowadays, and that is a horrible thing for the children to turn to. Bad company. Bad company is a big obstacle for our children. Who do they go to? Who do they go to? I know one person who's so good, and one time he came for counseling. He came and he was crying. He was like 18, 19 years old. He was crying, and you can tell that he is so sincere. He said, "My dad did this and that to me. He punished me, and I was working, and I was working, and now he told me to quit my job, and at the same time, he took my car, and he did this and that," and he was crying. And I said, "What did you do?" He said, "I smoked a little pot." But wallahi, Sheikh, it just one time. This guy I met, he has it, and he tempted me, and I just smoked a little bit, and I feel so bad, and I feel so sorry, but my dad is refusing to forgive me. And please, I need to do something, tell me what to do and all that. And I directed him to what to go and say to his dad and everything. I told him, "You are the oldest person in your family, and your dad has hopes. He set hopes in his life. He has hope in you that you will take care of your brothers, not to be the one to be spoiled first. He has hopes that you will be a man. You disappointed him." So you can understand. You can so you can understand why your dad did what he did. He might have exaggerated the punishment, but it is because of how much he had hope in you. Go do the following to your dad. Promise him, tell him I understand. Tell him, give me a second chance, and I'll prove it to you. Alhamdulillah, yani everything worked. But the point I'm trying to say, why did he deviate? Bad friend he met quickly deviated him to smoke something that a person on his own, without a bad company, may take him years and never ever even try it. But this is the pressure of the bad company. Look at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that the human being is a social creature, and depending on the company that you have, if it's good, you'll be good, if it's bad, you'll be bad. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us an example. He said, "Mathalul jalis as-salih والسوء كحامل المسك ونافخ الكير فحامل المسك إما أن يحذيك وإما أن تبتاع منه وإما أن تجد منه ريحا طيبة." He said the example of a good company and a bad company is like a person who's selling perfume and a blacksmith. Perfume, good company; blacksmith, bad company. As for the perfume, you're with a man who sells perfume. Three choices. He would, "Yeah, try this. Got some perfume, smell good." Or you buy something from him, or smelling neighborhood that smells good, because that's all he has, a perfume. Deal with the other one. Stinks, blacksmith, and he might burn you. Bad company, if he doesn't harm you, you look bad. You smell bad, people think of you bad. When people see you, they look at the company you're with. and they automatically associate you with it. This is what I say, the places where you go. You might be in a place that you're not committing any haram, or it's not even haram for you, but it's known for bad people or deviated people who go there. You go put yourself in that category, people are going to think negative of you. Why do you have to put yourself in situations where you make people have doubts about you, especially when it comes to our youth girls? This is something that you are not in need for. The very first right that I will address today for our children is the environment. Al-bi'ah, the place where you choose to put your children in. Because the environment has a great impact when it comes to raising our children. To the point that some people say the person is the son of his environment, or the daughter of his environment. They see where he was born, where he was raised. If he was raised in an environment that is religious, have high standard of good manners, then conclusion, this is how the person is going to be, and the other way is vice versa. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu mawlud yuladu ala al-fitra." Every person is born in a natural state. His parents may make him a Jew or a Christian. Why? Based on what? Based on their teachings and based on the bi'ah, where they put him. Any human being, he has the ability to affect and to be affected, to influence and to be influenced. But always, always, to be influenced with negative religious things or sins and such is a lot easier than to be influenced with positive. Put a good person with a bad person. More than likely, the good person is going to lose more than the other person is going to gain goodness. He might not become bad, but he will, bad in the sense of committing sins, he might what? Decrease his obedience. When you are with a bad person, at least your conversation and your talk is going to be negative. So, bi'ah has a lot of influence on that. And this is one of the great reasons that why our children are going backward when it comes to where they are raised. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O you who believe, protect yourself and your children from the hellfire. How do you protect them from the hellfire relating to the environment? I don't think, you know, just to give you an example, I don't think children, for those people, those brothers who live in those houses, are going to be influenced like children who are living in a different environment where they mix with the neighbors and such. Why? Because you feel like all around you, Muslims, all around you, people like you, so more than likely you're going to be brought up in a better way than if you put them in a different environment. How many of us really wish to have righteous son or righteous daughter? I know that every one of us. How many of us go to sleep when they are angry at their children? How many of us disappointed when they raise their children and now they're 15 or 16 or 17 and they keep saying, pray. Did you pray? Did you do this? Did you do that? When they're gonna learn? Now if you have someone whom you constantly doing this and you still doing that, you can understand, and they are put in a good environment, you can understand if they are put in a bad environment, how close or how successful you can be dealing with your children. How many mothers stand against her husband when the husband wants to punish the child for certain things that he or she did? The father is going to educate and to teach, and the mother is going against him. How can anyone expect manners to be straight and people to be straight without punishment? It doesn't work. Any person who tells you, I teach my children with pure love, is a liar. Impossible to teach your children or yourself or anyone, just limiting yourself to rewards and good ways and good things, no way. Even a person who is always deal with people without punishment is a weak person. You have to have both. You have to have love and fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful, right? But can we say, like some of them claim, God is love? Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. But this mercy has a limit in the sense of how much you obey Him. Rahmati qareebun min al-muhsineen. My mercy is close to the righteous people. If you're not righteous, inna rabbaka sari'ul iqab, swift in punishment, quick in punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, inna akhdahu alimun shadeed. When He punishes, very painful. This is the same Creator that we talk about, extremely merciful. So how do we obey Him subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we talk about ourselves, do we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we love Him? That's it. We have not reached to that level. This level of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of love is the highest level of love, the highest level of worship. We serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we want to go to Jannah, but most of us, I just don't want to go to hellfire. Because we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can put the person in hellfire if he does not. So if you don't bring your children in loving Allah for what He has and fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same thing you. How can your child obey you if he breaks the law and all you give him is hugs and kisses? You're not normal if you do that. You're not normal. The law, the police, the ruler, the person in charge, the leader, everyone has rules and regulations for reprimanding, for punishing, for everything if you break the law. The same thing with your children. But some people, unfortunately, sees it different. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ. Me and only me you should truly fear. الَّذِينَ يُبَلِّغُونَ رِسَالَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَخْشَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Whom we talking about? Messengers. Those who deliver the messages of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they fear Him and they fear no one but Allah. We're talking messengers. We're not talking young children or me and you or average people. We're talking the highest level of faith. This is how they fulfill that. So when we talk about environment, we are talking about the person to be put in the right environment. Like if you think something, how much you like your child to deal with you in a respectful way. Everyone likes that. Tayyib, when we do here in the masjid and other masajid, sometimes we make meetings for parents. We want to talk about your children. We want to educate you about your children. How many parents show up? Hardly anyone. When we make classes for children, I think the parents need classes a lot more than their children. Yes, the parents come and tell you, my child, and thank you, and we need... And who are you? What do you know about your child? If you don't know how to deal with your child, then definitely you are the one to come. So they don't involve themselves. For instance, sometimes because we don't understand the difference in age, the society that we are in, the time that we are in, parents, when they hear words from their children, sometimes they see it's like kufr, too harsh. They cannot take it. They do not accept it. This is not what they expect. But because of their ignorance with all those factors, they don't get it. I give you an example. When the son says to his father, "Why did you do that?" You know what happens? "I don't care." Wow. Son says to his father, "I don't care." That's a big one. Or you're threatening your son, "Allah, if you do," and your son is looking at you like this, staring you in the eye. That's a killer too. Look down. If your son, while you're talking to him, he walks away to his room, that's worse than the first one. You're talking to your son and your son ignores you and walks away. Or if your son's saying things like, you know, you tell him, "Take the trash." "I'm not going to do it. I did it yesterday." "Wow, I'm not going to do it." Take an example like your son, "Get me the mail." "I'm not going to do it. Tell my brother, I got it for you yesterday." All of those things that we hear from our children, if you really get down to it and investigate it, they're not bad. They're not really that bad. They're so basic. This is what they're used to. This is what they are brought up in. Yes, it is something that we don't like, but they really don't mean it the way we see it. When the son walks to his room, to him, he's doing something good. He doesn't want to start a fight. It's not his ignoring you and going. When he says, "Get my brother," it's not really he means to disrespect you. It's like, you know, let my brother share with that. This is how they are brought up and this is how they are taught. But rather than understanding that, I'm not saying that what they're doing is right. I'm not saying that this is something that we should, alhamdulillah. No, I'm saying if you don't understand them and you deal with them in a way where you can improve those things and make them understand why this is bad, we're not going to be successful in that. At the same time, what do? Immediately when we get something like that, "Give me your cell phone. No more phone. Give me the keys for the car. Membership for a club." And the first thing you hear is, "Why? What did I do? What did I do?" That kills you more. That actually angers the parents more than if they stay quiet. Because it's like, with all of what you did, and you think you did nothing? To them, they did nothing. I just answered you. You want me to be honest. I told you the truth. Go get me the mail. I don't feel like getting it. You said, be honest. See, sometimes we laugh at that, but it's reality. We tell them to be honest. Okay, he's honest. He doesn't feel like going getting it. Okay, to you, it's disrespectful because I expect my son, whether he likes it or not, to go and get it. But he doesn't know that. He's not brought up with that. You did not put him in the right environment that teaches him that. Where did you put him? How much you taught him? How much you sat with him? Where do you take him? So where is he going to get all of those things that you expect your son got? And you probably got it in 40, 50 years. People are drilling that and you're seeing that all the time and he hasn't seen it. You're not an example for him. The environment is not an example. People are not example. The friends are not example. And we are losing our children. My dear brothers and sisters, If our children are in an environment that has nothing to do with religion, that worships material and personal interests, whims and desires, and we did not give them the right time or the right place or the correct environment that teaches them etiquettes and manners or Islamic etiquettes, like saying salam alaikum, like handshaking, like respecting the elders, like eating with their right, like being polite, how they sit, how they walk, how they show their brotherhood and their dedication and their protection to their sisters and to their other friends and all that. How can we expect all of this from them when we have put them in an environment that teaches none of that stuff? Brothers and sisters, it is a must on us, if we don't have the time to take care of our children, to put them in the correct environment, and the best and the most correct environment nowadays here is to put them in Islamic school. If you don't have the time, at least you entrust them to someone who has the time and you spend your wealth on that. This is something that we expect if we need something. And I'm saying that when you put them in Islamic school, don't expect your children to start coming and kissing your feet. I'm saying with that, you will expect little. And without that, not only you expect little, but also they have no faith inside. They may pray, they may fast, but it's empty. It's no sincerity, they don't even know what it is. Tawheed and such, stay away from that. So the first right that we have, or that our children have, is the correct environment where to put them. We have other rights, and inshallah I will leave those rights to conclude inshallah with this right, and the other rights inshallah we'll talk about them next week, giving you some time for questions and answers. Next time inshallah we'll continue talking about the rights that are due to our children. First right we spoke about is the right of the environment, and then we have the right of dua, and then we have the right of choosing the right mother for them, and then we have the right that is due to them from the society, from the community to our children. All those we'll talk about inshallah next time. For the meantime, if you have any question relating inshallah